Weeks ago, have you ever had something that came into you, a thought that came into your mind, and it just kind of, it was a thought, and then that thought led to another thought, and another thought led to another thought, and this is probably the most sure thing that I've ever knew that I was supposed to talk about, okay? And April kept asking me, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, well, I don't know. And I had several different things jotted down on this piece of paper. It looks like, I did it when I was in kindergarten. But anyways, so I was riding down the road, and me and Therese was driving. And I was actually coming to church. And the Lord just kind of put this thought into my mind. And he said the word invisible giants. Okay? And I started thinking about that, and the first person that came to my mind, which is funny because everybody has talked about this for the past several weeks, is David. Of course, we know David was David and Goliath, right? It was actually a visible giant. But several weeks ago, and I think I was talking to Brandon in Monday night class, after class, there's things that for us, our biggest battles are within ourselves. Our biggest battles are within the things that the devil puts in our mind or in our heart. And I think DJ even posted a scripture this past week where it said that that the heart is one of the most deceiving things, and it's in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. So a lot of the times, I see with David was brave enough to go against Goliath. Right? Because if you read it in that passage in the Bible, it says that David, they were all the soldiers were standing back, and they're all like, oh no, we're defeated. And David says, why are you standing back here? And I'm paraphrasing this, okay? But he says, why are you standing back here? He says, who's your God? And he takes off, and he defeats Goliath. Now, the story, he picks up these stones, he's got his little slingshot, but it really only takes one time, the first time. So, but later on in life, and that's where I want to start reading, David's went through persecution with Saul, okay? He's went through all kinds of different things. And in 2 Samuel chapter 11, which is where we're going to start, do what? 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And I knew this as soon as, because I think Pastor Josh talked about it a couple weeks ago. And then Dennis, whenever he was going to speak, him and Josh tag teamed on this scripture. And several people have mentioned it in the past couple weeks. So I know that this was the Lord wanting me to talk about this. It says, in the spring of the year, and I researched that, that's between March and April, okay? It says, when kings normally go out to war. Now, remember that. When kings normally go out to war, okay? It says, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, so go back and read. It says, when kings normally go out to war. So in the spring of the year, most of the time the kings went out to war, right? But where was David? He wasn't with them. He was still at the house. He was hanging out, taking it easy, when there was things that he was supposed to be doing. His duty, he had taken, what is it called, when you take a little vacation? Sabbatical, there you go. But look at this. It says, and this is what I really want to concentrate on. It says, late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Later, when Bathsheba discovered that she was pregnant, she sent David a message saying, "I'm pregnant." Now, I got to researching this, and it's really interesting because I always had in my mind that Bathsheba was on the roof taking a bath. But that's not what it says. It says that David was walking along the rooftop and he noticed a woman taking a bath. And I got to looking into this and researching it, and it says that David, on his roof, which would have been the palace, which would have been probably the highest roof in the city, would have been able to oversee almost everything. So, either Bathsheba could have been inside the corridor of her home, which most of them had like little, you know, you walk inside the walls and it was a little like yard, okay? Courtyard. Or she could have been, you know, inside one of the rooms with back then they didn't have a bunch of curtains and stuff, so it was like the open air. And he could have been able to look down in from the rooftop. So right here in this one place, this one afternoon, after David had been laying around taking a nap, he went out on the roof and was walking, and he looks over the city, and he notices this woman. Now remember, and I want to, because I even got on the internet and searched this, and most people's perception of this verse was that Bathsheba was on the roof. But she wasn't. So she wasn't enticing David. Okay? So, I thought about this. How many times when we see something and it's there, we want to blame that thing of enticing us, when a lot of the times we're in a place that we're not supposed to be anyways. We're in a state or in a position where really, not saying that it's going against God's will that we're there, but we're not about our business. Okay? And then I looked at it again and I thought, he had to entertain this thought. Because he was walking on the roof. He looks down and he sees this woman, and he doesn't, you know, do this, or he doesn't go back inside. He entertains, because look at what it says right here. He sent someone to find out who she was. And in the New King James Version, it says he inquired of her. So he went into researching about her, wanting to know about her, where she lived, you know, what her name was. So he took one step further and really dug, and if you want to say, opened the door for things to come rushing in. Now then, and he's the king. He can do whatever he wants. So there's no stopping him. It says there, I hear that he sent someone to find out who she was, and when he was told, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He knew that she was Uriah's wife. Uriah was the captain, right? So he knew Uriah, because David was always with the army when they were fighting, right? Until now. So he had some close relation with Uriah. He knew this guy. And it says, then David sent messengers to get her. Now, I also went and looked, and when she's actually out doing this bathing, this was a ceremonial thing. This was something that they were required to do. So another reason that she's not trying to entice anybody by doing this. This was something that was required by law for her to do. Okay? So remember this, that David went and inquired. It wasn't something that he had to further on research. And a lot of us, what goes on in here is a lot of the times we don't cast it out. We don't get rid of it like we should. The Bible tells us to do away with those imaginations and those things that exalt ourselves above the knowledge of Christ. And we don't put them down. We just let them go and go and we let those thoughts and those ideas that we know are not of God run rampant, and sometimes we play them out. And what was it that our pastor told us just the other day? He said, you know, when we take our desires and we don't push them aside and we don't put them down with the Word of God, what happens? It becomes lust. And then what happens with lust? It becomes sin. Okay? So, and this is a perfect example. If you'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 16 through 20. And this was really, because I read this several years ago. And like I said, all this just started really coming together. And I was just like, wow. It says, but, and this is talking about the king, okay? It says, but he shall not multiply horses for himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Next verse. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord, his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment, to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And I thought about this verse. It was required by law that the king keep a copy of the word, the scripture, beside his bed, and he was to read it daily. Do you think, with what David was doing, he wasn't going to war when he was supposed to? He wasn't with his troops. He was out just kind of leisurely hanging out, not doing his kingly duties. Do you think he was doing this? Because if you look at, and you go back in David's, a lot of his earlier writings, he's inquiring of the Lord. He's always asking, you know, inquire of the Lord. He's always talking about what the Lord says and what the Scriptures say. So think about this. How many times, when you start having these thoughts in your head, because I'm going to tell you, I have some crazy thoughts that come up in my head. There's some things that come up in my head, and I know it ain't God. And I have to say, Lord, get this away from me. I try to, you know, think of some kind of verse or something that counteracts that thought. But look at what it said. He said he's supposed to read this every day. Every day. It's supposed to be beside his bed. He picks it up. You know, I think, you know, when you're there, and I don't know, it might be from the movies or whatever, but I think this palace, and there's this big grand bedroom, and he's got his big bed, you know, and right there beside of it, he's got his bed table, and there's the book. You know, when you wake up there, you open up the book, and you start reading a lot. You start reading the Word of God. And that starts your day off right. David even said, wasn't it in the Psalms where he said, early in the morning will I seek thee? But he's gotten away from it. And these thoughts that came into his head, I mean, you can think about it. You're walking across the roof. You're the most important person in the whole kingdom, really in the whole region or empire right now. You're the man. And you're going around and you're walking around and you're really confident. And if you read the verses before this, it talks about he's not supposed to do this. He's not supposed to do this. He's not supposed to do this. And really what it's getting at is it's supposed to keep him humble. To keep him on an even playing field. Not thinking that he's better or got more or more upstanding than anybody else. But here he does. He goes and he says, he's supposed to read this every day. How many times does your thoughts or your life start spinning out of control because you haven't renewed your mind daily with the Word of God. I have seen so many times in my life where I need to take the Word and I need to apply it to a situation, and instead I take the wisdom of the community, or I take the wisdom of Facebook, or I take the wisdom of a friend, instead of going and taking the Word of God and saying, okay, Lord, what do you say about this? And the thoughts just start spiraling out of control. They mess me up. And then a lot of us struggle with depression. Why? Because we don't take captive those thoughts. A lot of us struggle with addiction. Why? Because we don't take captive those thoughts. I know myself from a former life that I used to live, a lot of the times whenever things get overwhelming and stressful, the first thing that the devil tries to tempt me with is the way that I used to live. Because it was just an escape from everything. And then what do? I have to step back and I have to inquire, what am I going to do? Am I going to take captive these thoughts and cast down these imaginations? Or am I going to entertain them? Am I going to seek them out? And that verse right there where it says that he's supposed to read this Word, he's supposed to read this book and the Word of God every day, that is the same as it is in the New Testament where it talks about in Romans that we're supposed to renew our mind daily. If you can't take, and I've always loved this saying, it says that religion bases everything on what God has said instead of what God is saying. And we can look at that as the difference between religion and relationship. Because anybody in there who has a relationship, whether it be a marriage relationship or a relationship with your parents or a relationship with friends or a relationship, that relationship doesn't go too far if you don't nurture that relationship, does it? If you just show up every day, you sit in the same seat, you have the same conversation every day, you do the same exact thing over and over and over, what is that? It's just a ritual, ain't it? There's nothing that it says that God's mercies are anew every day. Every day that I get up and I open the Word of God and I read it, I find something new. I find something that makes it better, that makes it fresh, that makes it exciting. I mean, there's things that just in the past several months that I have read that has just, I mean, it's been a lot. Things that I didn't know that was in there. Read it probably a million times. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, where did that come from? In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, it says, as a man, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. I have to use this verse a lot of times with myself. Because I know that, you know, we've got the Celebrate Recovery thing, and we've got a lot of counseling sessions that go on, and we've got a lot of classes here. And you know, I know that Josh has been teaching a lot in youth. And we've got to get out of this state where we always feel like we're trapped. Like we always feel like we're depressed. Like we always feel like we're the victim. Because the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And I see in my own home that it has taken root. And sometimes I've even nourished it. That it's okay to feel like, well, it's your feelings. Well, you know, like our pastor said, your feelings lie. They lie a lot. And if you ain't careful, your feelings will overtake you. And they will take you down. You've got to be very, very, very careful that you don't let your feelings rule over the Word of God. Because this is the truth. This is what we can stand on. This is the firm foundation. And if we're not very, very careful, our feelings will take us down a place where we don't need to go. And I looked, whenever I was thinking about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How many times have I gotten down on myself and it's ruined not just days, but weeks? I was listening to a message the other day. And I'm not going to tell you who the preacher was because you might not like him. But I liked what he had to say, so. But he said, a lot of times we read the Word of God, but we don't rehearse the Word of God. Yeah, that's what it did to me. I was like, oh my gracious. Conviction. Fell in the truck. I was like, wow. How many times have I read the Word of God, but I don't rehearse it? And when I'm talking about rehearsing it, I think of like, you know, a play or some kind of production, a movie. I'm the guy that God picked for the star role. And I've got certain things that He's told me to do. Certain lines that I've got to read and certain actions that I've got to take, but yet I'm not doing it, I'm just reading it. How interested would you be in a movie or a book if it was the same thing over and over and over? And you read the same thing, let's just say for 350 pages, the same sentence for 350 pages. How interesting would that be? What kind of relationship would that be? How long would you read the book? Not very long. As a person or as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We've got to redo this. We've got to renew it and conform it and to God's Word. Because if we don't, then our feelings in our heart takes over and it's deceptive. And I read a book one time by a Christian author, and it said that when you're being deceived, you don't know it till it's over with. And that's dangerous. Because deception doesn't happen when you know it. Deception happens and you don't know it. And then all of a sudden you're in a mess and you're standing there with your hands like, I don't know how I got here. How many times in your life have you said, I don't know how I got here? Yeah, quite a few. A lot of the times in my mind, I know for me, I'll have a thought, and most of the time it comes from past experiences, whether it be being lied to, or being cheated, or being abused, or an addiction that I used to be in, or whatever it was. And instead of casting it down with the Word of God, I'll start playing it out. And then all of a sudden, my day's a mess. And I'm stepping back and I'm going, once again, how did I get here? And then I'll come home, I'll be in a bad mood, and then what happens? It affects everybody that I'm around. You know, I can go to work, and one thing set me off, and the rest of the day is terrible. Because I don't step back, and I don't use the Word of God to refresh and renew my mind. I don't take those thoughts. And you know, I think this is a plague in our society today, is we let our thoughts run rampant and we don't take them. And when I'm talking about taking them captive, I'm talking about grabbing something. You take it and you grab it, you bear hug it. And you don't let it go. And if you've ever wrestled or done any kind of, fighting with your siblings or whatever, you don't just, because when you let go of whatever you got bear hugged up, what happens? Yeah, it's going to get you. So what do? You try to take it and you put it into submission, right? There you go. Make it say uncle. So you take it and you put it in submission. And I think whenever I do that, I'm grabbing something and I'm taking it over and I'm opening up the door and I'm throwing it out. And you know what? Whenever I really take the time and am serious about taking the Word of God and putting and taking those thoughts into submission, taking them captive and throwing them out, it's not very long till my mind's clear. The atmosphere changes. I have thought so long about this Scripture and this instance with David, the Bible says that David was a man after what? God's own heart. And I thought, how can a man after God's own heart do this? A man who had slayed giants, who had conquered so many pagan kingdoms, who was rich. I looked up, you know, David's complexion. It says in the common Jewish Bible that he was very dark complected with bright eyes. He was really good looking. Okay? And I looked this up and I'm thinking, this guy's got everything. But yet, what does he do? He brings something on his family for generation after generation after generation. Because of one act that he decided to inquire of, that he knew that he was not supposed to do, and he didn't cast that thought down, and he didn't walk away from it. Instead, he entertained it. I've thought about all of these things that we've got going on in society today. And you know, we see it in youth. We see it in the general population of the church. We've got all of this self-harm. We've got all this addiction. We've got all this depression. We've got all of these things that are going on within our community. And we've got the weapon right here to take care of it. Probably everybody here has got one of these in their house. And I think I've failed. I have failed people that I know. I've failed people in my home. I've failed myself. Because instead of being ready, I've been lazy. The last, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3-5. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." We want to take those thoughts and we want to try to regenerate them into something else besides the obedience of Christ. There's so many self-help programs. They're everywhere. I mean, you can buy a self-help book, you can get something off the internet, you could talk to somebody, you could go. But we very rarely take the Word of God and take those imaginations and we take them captive and we cast them out and we bring them, our thoughts, obedient to Christ. Because I have thought so many times, I'll be down, I'll be mad. I'm going to tell you, I never thought that I had a problem with anger. I never thought I did. I really didn't. But mine's not outward anger, mine's internal anger. And I've noticed here lately that I get angry really quick. And I take it out on everybody around me. It's not belligerent, but it's one of those, I don't know how to explain it, the turtle and the skunk thing. Okay? I stink it up when everybody's around. Are you bringing into captivity the thoughts and the imaginations that try to push out what Christ is trying to do in you? There's a lot of things in my life that I see that I know that Christ has tried to instill. And you know, I went by a church the other day and it said, Church of the True Gospel. And I wondered, do they even know what gospel means? Gospel means good news. Have you ever caught yourself as a Christian always talking about the bad things? You're bragging on the bad things. You're bragging on the bad thoughts that you have and how you can't get out of this rut and how you can't get out of this thought pattern and how you can't get out of the hard time you're having here. But you never talk about the good news, which is Jesus crucified, died, rose on the third day, delivered everyone from from sin and gave us a conquering and overcoming life. So, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." Now, there's so much in this verse that we could stay here all night long. But I want to ask you a question. How much of the world's ideas do you implement in your life every day? Whether it be in your job, the world telling you what you have to do for a job and how much money you've got to make. Whether it be in what clothes you wear, or the world telling you what kind of clothes you have to wear to be in. Whether it be the house that you live in. Whether it be the food that you eat. There is all kinds of different things that the world tells us to do. Here, I don't know, what was it, last year? I found this little diet thing on Facebook. And I was reading it and I was like, why not? You know, it was called the Shepherd's Code. And it was this diet that this lady had researched through the Bible. So I started reading a little bit about it, and it took me quite a while to read about it, so I ordered it. Well, we got it, and this book's like this thick, and I'm like, gee whiz, really? There's no way. So I start reading through the book. Well, me and my wife decided to start doing some of it. Biblically based, best I've ever felt. Lost 20 pounds in a month. Now, I wasn't eating the things that the world told me to. Because I noticed every commercial that you see on TV is not what you're required to eat by God. All the sugar and all of the other things that you see in the gas station. There's very few things that you can go anywhere and buy in a store unless you go to the grocery store that is healthy. So I had to take and I had to do this. I had to reprogram. Best I've ever felt. Guess what? Yeah. Started eating the junk again. Started drinking the Kool-Aid and the soft drinks and eating all the bread and everything else. Well, guess what? The 20 pounds that I lost, it's back. Jumped right on. But it was, and I mean, it was simple. I was eating as much as I wanted to. I wasn't hungry. And I'm not here to be your fitness coach, but I'm just saying, God's plan works. It's real. It excites me more and more every day, the more things that I find in His Word that work. And I'm just like, it's so much a proven fact that He is real and that He is perfect and that His ways, my ways are not His ways. I have had this on my mind for a while, is whenever the world says, build your empire. Have you heard that slogan that, you know, build your empire? God says, build His kingdom. And then it says right here, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. There's only a few places in the Bible where God says to prove Him. One of them's in tithing. One of them's right here. He says, prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I don't have any issue. And I'm from this verse and the other things that I see in the Bible, God doesn't have a problem with you taking His Word and saying, okay, God, You said it. You tell me to prove You. I'm believing. It's got to work. Now, how many in here really believe that God's Word works? How many times a day do you put it to the test? When there's something going on in your family, do you put it to the test? When there's something going on at your job, do you put it to the test? When there's something going on at church, Do you put it to the test? Do you really believe in faith? Are you taking everything you've got and putting it on Jesus will come through? Or are you putting it in stocks and bonds? Or are you putting it in property? Or are you putting it in relationships? Or are you putting it in your looks? What are you doing with it? Last verse, Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And the last thing that I have to say, how many of us in here want peace? Peace in your home, peace in your life, just peace. And it says right here that He will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in Him and all those whose thoughts are fixed on Him. I know with me, when I wake up in the morning, I can tell you, I wake up and I'll go and I'll do my regular morning, you know, habits, and I'll open up my Bible app and I'll look at my Bible and I'll read that verse and then I'll shut it down. And then I'll go about doing everything else that I'm supposed to. How many times from, let's just say, 5:45, 6 o'clock until I get home, maybe 3:30 to 5, do I think about the Word of God from that point? It's a lot more than it was, but it's not as much as it should be. Because if I believe that He's the one who sustains me and is going to give me an eternal home and has set that up for me, then why am I putting and investing my time and my energy into a world that isn't eternal? I have all of these things here that God gives me, but when He gives it to me, He's given it to me to invest back into His kingdom. I am thankful for everybody that's here, and just to be honest with you, I really enjoy coming to church. I enjoy coming, I enjoy worshiping God, I enjoy listening to the Word, I enjoy the conversation. You know, the hanging out before and after, the events. And you know, I am so excited to be able to do Jesus with you guys. And it's been a long time since I've been excited. Okay? So, think about this when you go home. When you turn on the TV. When you turn on your radio. You know, I used to be, I try my best not to get legalistic. Because legalism is a mess. But I also know, you know, the old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Whatever you put in is what comes back out. A lot of the times, I have to be careful about what I watch, what I listen to, and the company that I keep. Because if I don't, then I become the same thing. Remember this. Because God's Word says, you know, you want that peace. You want that joy. You want those things in your life that the Spirit offers. Then it's got to be by His way. Because He is the way. Anybody have anything to say? Any praise or anybody need to come to the altar? We've got a lot going on here, in our homes, in our community. And I think that
I'm in agreement with our pastor. I think that the revival is getting ready to really break loose. But I don't want to be that person that revival breaks loose and I can't go with it. I heard a pastor years and years ago, and he said that when God chooses you to go, there's those that will go, there's those that won't go, and there's those that shouldn't go. And I had to inquire. I said, well, I don't understand. I got those that will go, and I got those that won't, that will go, that won't go, but what about the ones that shouldn't go? He said, well, those that will go are going to be excited, and they're going to be ready, and they're going to be willing to do whatever. There's going to be those that are going to sit back and say, well, I don't feel like I should do that, or that's not my calling, or it's just not for me. And then there's going to be those that go only to stir up trouble. I don't want to be two of those. Okay? And if you look at the Exodus, all three of those were there. Okay? So, let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, it is so amazing to be able to serve you, and I am so thankful and privileged to be able to get up here and to read from your word. I am so grateful that you give me this thing to say tonight, that I might be able to be a difference in someone else's life, that the thoughts, that they would be able to take them and to take them captive, and that they would be able to tie them up and throw them in the garbage. And that they would take your word and it would become so profound and so electric in their life, Lord, that it moves them to do things and be a person that regularly in their own self they would not be. That they could serve people and serve with joy and gladness. And speak your word and tell people the good news about what you've done in their life and what you're going to do in other people's lives. I ask that for everyone that is here and everyone that is not here, that you would just wrap your arms around them, whisper in their ear how much you love them and how much you want to take care of them and how much you want to hear from them. And the relationship and the conversation that you want to have with them each and every day. Lord, just grab our hands. Lead us. Help us be willing to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.